Montana State University Billings welcomes you to this internet broadcast of Yellow Jacket Sports.
And welcome to this edition of the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Ken Adelblue, along with the head coach for the Montana State Billings men, George Pfeiffer, as they get set to head on the road after an impressive three-win homestand in which they played four games. The last victory over Alaska Anchorage, 69-60. You know, it's interesting, George. As I was driving in today, I said, geez, it seemed like it's been forever since they played. Really hadn't been. It was just that for so long there, you guys were having, at least two games a week. There were times in the preseason, of course, when you had three games. You mentioned it the other day during our post-game interview that this, if there was ever a team that really deserved a break, this was it.
Well, you know, I think the break, I don't know, when you're playing well, you don't want to break, but I think in the big picture of things, you know, we had so many weeks where we were, you know, 6 days a week going at it. So, you know, we won four out of our last five out of this home suite, not three. So, you know, we're 5 points away from having, you know, ran the table while we were at home. But, you know, the game against Anchorage was a really big measuring stick as far as we were concerned and as far as where our program is at right now and the direction we're going, because they're the returning champions. They've got a very veteran team. And so, you know, we basically, you know, and it's the cliche, but it's a cliche for a reason. We're basically trying to take each game one game at a time. And we're also trying to constantly emphasize to our team the importance of getting better every week. You know, at the end of the week, are we a better basketball team than we were the week before? We can't stay in a maintenance mode. We're not at that level yet.
You have to forgive me for this, because I think I know what your answer is going to be. But when I come into a coach's show and we talk, oftentimes I try to take it from a perspective from maybe somebody who didn't get to see the last few games. Maybe they didn't get a chance to listen to it on the internet, so maybe they're looking at the box score the next day and they're wondering, you know, and they're kind of going by that. There has been a trend as of lately where you guys have had great second halves. I mean, there's been a string here where you've actually been trailing in the first half only to come back and win in the second half. Again, I think I know what your answer is going to be, but again, somebody just looking at the box score over the last few games, they might be thinking, boy, MSUB is getting off to slow starts. Why are they such a great second-half team? Are they struggling in the first half? Kind of address that, because you know there's people that probably think that.
Well, I don't think we get off to a slow start. In a couple of those games, we were leading after the first 5 or 6 minutes. So again, this is the varsity league that we're playing in. This is one of the premier Division II basketball conferences in the country. And in saying that, it's a 40-minute basketball game. And in some of those half, if you take the Anchorage game, for example, they shot the cover off the basketball. You go back and look at that, and there were some shots that they took that we were draped all over them, and they made those shots. Now, we could have done a better job defensively, and I thought our defense stepped up somewhat in the second half, but not a whole bunch. But what happened is they started missing some of those shots, and I think one of the staples of our program right now is on missed shots or turnovers, we're running out. And when we get a chance to run out and we make good decisions with the basketball, we score in flurries. And I think in a lot of times in those second halves, we continually want to push. We're constantly thinking of push, push, push. But when the other team shoots the field goal percentage they're shooting, it makes it hard for us to get out and push. So in a lot of those second halves, I think we've been really consistent in wanting to establish pace. And, you know, you might not get that in the first 20 minutes, but if you keep at it, then all of a sudden maybe you get a breakdown and you get an easy basket here or there and the door opens.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, too. I think if you looked at it, you mentioned the fact that they shot very well in the first half. They were just about 64%, 14 for 22, 75% from beyond the arc. And you guys shot pretty well, too, 50%. You know, there in the second half, they shot about 36%. You know, you shot about 41%, which is actually quite low for you, and yet you still pulled out to end up winning by 9, so you outscore them by 13 points there in the second half. This team right now is finding a lot of ways to win.
Well, yeah, I think the other thing, too, is our rebounding. When you get out in transition and you shoot early shots and you've got numbers, even if that ball doesn't go in the hole, you get an opportunity to stick the ball back in the hole, or you grab a rebound and you get to the free throw line. And if you go back and look at what we were shooting at the foul line back in, you know, as far back as late November, early December, our free throw shooting was atrocious. And that doesn't mean that doesn't peer its head out around the corner to us at times. We've had that happen. We had it happen during one of these games during this stretch, the Fairbanks game, for example. But we're starting to capitalize on some of our charity shots. We don't turn the basketball over, knock on wood, very often. You know, Mario, I think, is like, he's definitely tops in the conference in assists. He's like sixth in the conference sixth in the country in assists. So we share the basketball. I think that's what, you know, if I was a fan, that would be fun for me to watch. You know, people aren't, you know, we're not one-on-one orientated. We lead the conference in, assist to turnover ratio. We lead the conference in assists per game. And so I think the fact that we share the ball, and then when we start to get stops and we start to get, you know, opportunities to run, then, you know, the game starts to turn in our favor.
I think it's interesting, too, and I think this has a lot to do with some of the senior leadership you have in Micah Hall and Travis Bunker. One thing I really like about your team, and I know this is a game of emotion, and it's great when you're riding high, and, you know, things are going well, but the thing about your team, I don't see – frankly, if I were to come in the middle of the game and I were to look up at the scoreboard, I'm not sure I could look on the faces of your players and tell whether they're winning or losing. There's not a lot of chest bumping out there when things are really going well, and there's not a lot of looking down on the floor and kind of kicking the ground when things are going bad. This team seems to not get too high when things are up and not get too down when things, you know, which happens in any ball game when things go down. So there seems to be a real calming presence out there among the players.
Well, I do think that we've kind of grown into that role. I wouldn't necessarily think we had that early on in our basketball season, but I think as time has gone on, I think there's a confidence, and I think that's kind of what I see. I believe that, you know, the returning players now believe in the fact that we're going to win these games. The new players, the new faces that we brought in, they always believed that we were going to win these games, and so I think those two things have meshed together. I know how to coach them better. I can watch guys and go, hey, it's time for him to come out. You know, we need to get out of this type of style of offense and jump into this style of offense. And that takes time. And so we're going to be going through the conference after we play St. Martin's. We're going to be going through the conference the second time. And so, you know, if you prepared well the first time, it shouldn't take as much to get yourself ready to play that second game. Now, when you beat people, it makes it difficult to come back the second time and beat people, because they're making adjustments, you're making adjustments, but you also, operate under the umbrella. If it's not broke, why fix it? So, I think the biggest thing that we've done in this program is continue to get better. And when we stop doing that, then we're going to start finding success.
Yellow Jacket Coaches Show brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Denny Menholt Chevrolet Hummer, Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, Sign Pro, Perkins Family Restaurants, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare, and Jackets and Company. We'll be back with the second part of the Coaches Show right after this.
Hooligan Sports Bar and the Montana Brewing Company. Small brewery, big beer. Billings' number one award-winning beers. Great food, great fun, and great beer. Hooligan Sports Bar and the Montana Brewing Company. And we're now proud sponsors of the Montana State University Billings Athletics. Join us before and after the game for great food, awesome service, and award-winning beer. Hooligan Sports Bar and the Montana Brewing Company. Small brewery, big award-winning beer. Right in the heart of downtown Billings. At 113 North Broadway, downtown.
And welcome back to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Ken Adelblue talking with George Pfeiffer as the Yellow Jackets, after winning 4 of 5 games at home as part of the GNAC play, they're now heading on the road for a 4-game stretch beginning this Thursday at Western Oregon, and then Saturday, February 7th at St. Martin's, and they'll end up with their longest road trip of the season at Alaska Anchorage and Alaska Fairbanks before returning home the 21st against St. Martin's. This begs the question, and we talked a little bit about this on the post-game show the other day as well. Obviously, you've been a very, very successful home team this year. You have not played a lot of games at home, and you pointed that out to me. But on the road rather. But the simple truth of the matter is, you have yet to win on the road. Haven't played a lot of games. They've all been very competitive. How does the mentality change when you're looking for that first road win, if at all?
Well, the thing that we tried to talk to our team, and we talked to our team about is, you may have a flat moment at home and then you overcome it. You don't get that luxury on the road. Your game has to be tighter. It has to be more consistent. You have to make plays and performances, and you can't let the other team have big flurries and spurts. And if you go back to Western Washington and Seattle Pacific, two games that could have easily fallen into our lap as wins, we allowed them to have, 5-6 minute stretch where they really cranked it up. And then all of a sudden we're playing from behind. And hats off to this group, because they don't go away. We've never gone away. We've always stayed the course and stayed in there and fought. So what we have to do is capture what we've been doing the last several games and put that on and just go out there and play. Because once the ball's thrown up in the air and you start running up and down the floor, the reality of it is, if you're mentally tough, same size basket, same size ball, court's the same, and then it just matters, your character versus their character when you're playing those games. And so I'm looking forward to being on the road. So there's very few distractions as far as game preparation is concerned. The boys get tighter. I think what we have to do is embrace that. We can't, we can't peer around and wonder, but we have to embrace the fact that we're going to go out there on the road and we're going to have to be really tough-minded. And if we want to do something extra special instead of just special, we're going to have to find ways to win these games.
You talked about Mario Burns earlier, and the one thing I've noticed about the Great Northwest Athletic Conference, they typically have one great post player. It seems like they all got pretty good outside shooters, and they all have good point guards. I don't think I'd trade anyone. In fact, I know I wouldn't trade anyone right now for Mario. I think at the end of this season, barring something strange happening, I think certainly he'll be one of those players that's going to be considered for some postseason accolades. You've just got to be really pleased with the development of Mario Burns at the point guard position.
Well, the thing he brings is the fastest. We got the fastest and quickest guy on the floor. And so, oftentimes he'll have the ball at, say, the volleyball spike line in the backcourt, and you're at half court, and he's coming at you. He's going to win that race. As much as you you might think, well, he's going left, and I've watched a lot of guys try and pick an angle to get in front of him. I think what he's doing a better job of is he's getting into the paint, and he's not just making the play in the paint for himself or an easy, quick dish off inside. As he becomes more patient and starts to look out or look behind or stop and let some people move, because it's hard to catch up to him. I mean, there's a lot of times he's down the floor and there's two opponents in the paint between him and the basket. And if he just, when he just kind of waits and gives everybody else a chance to catch up and then surveys the situation, then really good things happen for us. And as long as he keeps ball pressure, that really helps us defensively. And so we're constantly on him to make sure that he's, not off of his guy. And that's something I look for. If he's off his guy too much, he must be tired. And so when he gives us good, solid ball pressure, you take a look at the point guard from Western Oregon. When he had ball pressure on him in the first half, guy had 3 points. When he was off of him and soft on him, guy had 26 points. And I'm not taking anything away from his performance, but Mario has a tendency to set a line of scrimmage for us. And so we're going to desperately need that from him during the course of this weekend.
I've used the analogy before. When I think of a point guard, I use my football analogy. I always kind of consider him to be sort of the quarterback, if nothing else, the trigger man. This question's a little esoteric, so forgive me for this, but oftentimes with coaches and quarterbacks, you often hear of I don't want to say a love-hate relationship, but it's often a volatile situation, between the talk about the relationship you have with Mario, because obviously as a coach and him being the point guard, you put a lot of responsibility in his hands.
Well, you talk to him more. You talk to that person more than you talk to anybody on your team about basketball. During the course of practice, I don't pull guys over and, because I talk to the group, but with him, I pull him over and, hey, you needed to go left and then come back right and then go back left to make this play work. And ours isn't the simplest system to get down. We're constantly adding things and putting new plays in, and that puts a lot more pressure on him. He's got to remember more stuff, and so he does, if you've all things considered, he's done a really remarkable job of managing the team. But on the other hand, as a point guard, it's got to be pretty nice to come down the floor and look right or left and see a Brett Taylor or Mike Hall or, Travis Bunker standing there wide open, and throw him the ball and know that there's more than a 40% chance that three ball is going to go in the hole, or post players, with Kirk Blaine and Brad Hodge and Derek Wright, that if you get those guys' balls in positions that they're going to convert those baskets and make them for you. Those three guys are shooting well up above in the 50s, close to 60% in conference play right now. So, when he's doing his job and getting the ball to people, it's got to be frustrating for a point guard who works their butt off to get the ball to somebody and then they don't convert and make the basket. And I think that, it's a two-way street. Those guys understand that if they get themselves in position, they're going to find great opportunity. And then from his standpoint, if he works hard to get them in position, opportunity is going to take care of itself.
Yellow Jacket Coach's Show is brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Denny Menholt Chevrolet Hummer, Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, Sign Pro, Perkins, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare, and Jackets and Company. When we come back, we're going to talk about the upcoming games. That's coming up on the Coach's Show.
Catering to today's traveler, the Juniper Inn offers affordable, quality accommodations with king and queen size beds and new executive facilities for the business traveler. The Juniper Inn offers complimentary shuttle service as well as special medical and corporate rates and much more. Their friendly staff works hard to cater to your special needs. Juniper Inn, 1315 North 27th Street, Billings. Call toll free 1-800-826-7530.
Welcome back to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Ken Adelblu along with the head coach for the Montana State Billings men, George Pfeiffer, starting off with Western Oregon on February 5th, Thursday, and then at St. Martin's. Now, I've seen you play Western Oregon. Great game here. St. Martin's, certainly a game that could have, a team that you have not played as of yet up to this point. Talk about these two games, because obviously starting off a four-game road stretch, these are important games for you.
Well, Western Oregon's dropped quite a few games since they played us, but they're in every single game, and it's a very difficult place to play. You fly into Portland, you drive down to Salem, you practice Wednesday night, you don't go out to their place and shoot around because it's a late shoot around. So that's kind of a difference. There's a bit of a difference in that. They're a very senior laden team. I know they felt very bitter about their loss to us here, so we're going to have to do a really good job of rebounding the basketball. I think that's going to be inside a lot of things that we're going to see. That's going to be a really important statistic. Our rebounding as a team, when you take a look at last year, when we first came here and we started looking at certain statistics, and one of the things that jumped out is we were getting out rebounded by, plus double digits. And right now in conference, we're close to 6+. And we've worked really hard at it, and our guys have really bought into that. And that was a key factor in the Anchorage game. So we're going to have to really, we're going to have to get some second shot opportunities. We're going to have to limit their second shot opportunities because they have really good shooters. So rebounding is going to be a real key in that basketball game. We can't let the point guard have the night he had. Wheaton, or that would be a recipe for disaster. McLaughlin has played really well in their last three games. He didn't really have a lot of numbers in our games, but it seems to me that his volcano is starting to erupt, and so we have to keep that in check. But the biggest thing is that if we execute and get stops and get opportunities to run, then I like our chances of finding an opportunity to have success there.
And obviously kind of a quirky situation in the fact that, you take on a Western Oregon and then you face a team that, you haven't had a chance to play yet this year in St. Martin's. I don't know a lot about St. Martin's, but again, being from the GNAC, I assume they're pretty good.
Well, they haven't lost at home in conference yet. That's a fact. They played really close with people away from their place. I think talent-wise, when I saw them early on and they were ranked, 15th in the country, I think talent-wise in our conference, they might have the best talent. Their point guard is one of the top scorers, not in the conference, but in the country, in Litton. He gets to the free throw line a crazy amount of times. I mean, last week he was 10 for 10. The game before that he was 8 for 8. He's had strings during his career of 55 in a row, 44 in a row. He's just one of those guys that kind of finds a way to slap his little body into you and falls down, and all of a sudden he's shooting a bunch of free throws. And then Poole, their post player, we were just talking about rebounding, or I was, in their win over Western Oregon, he had 11 offensive rebounds and 11 defensive rebounds. So, here's a lad that knows where the ball is when it comes off the rim. He's built like a bowling ball. And if you're not attacking him as a predator, he's going to just shove you underneath the basket, and he gets everything that comes out on that one side. So those are two things that, jump out at you, right away. I've had a chance to just kind of look at St. Martin's as I was prepping for Western Oregon. But to be honest with you, we have to, as coaches, take this one game at a time. My assistant's in charge of prepping for St. Martin's, and, probably Wednesday night, once we've kind of put the final ribbon on the Western Oregon, we'll start taking a look at St. Martin's. But I do know that they run lots of stuff. They shoot the ball well. They have high octane scoring presence and athletic ability. So, and I played in St. Martin's and Lacey before, and it's a very difficult place to play.
Yellow Jacket Coaches Show brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Denny Minholt, Chevrolet Hummer, Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, Sign Pro, Perkins Family Restaurants, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare, and Jackets and Company. Coach, best of luck to you on the road trip.
Thank you so much.
This has been the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show, and we'll talk again next week. Thanks, everyone.
The Yellow Jackets and Montana State University thank you for logging on and listening to Yellow Jacket Sports.